Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got them right where we want them.
Primetime on Football Friday.
No one comes into our house and pushes us around.
1080 The Fan.
How you play today from this moment on is how you will be remembered.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What's up? Good Friday.
I'm happy it's a football Friday, not a football Thursday. That game set back offensive football, like, for a good part of a decade.
You're talking about the Jets and Texans?
Ugh.
I didn't see it after I left. I had other things going on. But I did see that our Jets won.
Yes!
Our Jets pick.
We told you that line, the Jets being favored, I got something's on. Vegas
Jets
was begging you to take the Texans. Because as much of a mess as the Jets are, and they are, the Texans are not good. Their record just didn't indicate it.
So that cat, I did see that catch by
Garrett Wilson.
Looked like the Jumpman logo.
That is good a catch as you will ever see. When I saw him do, and I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's a shame because he didn't. I didn't realize the shin counted. I knew like the hip or your butt or a knee, but the shin and then the knee kind of at the same time. I didn't realize that honestly was a catch until they explained it.
The shin or the sock. Many a reason why Oregon Duck fans believe Michael Dyer was down.
Yeah.
I thought it was his wrist.
It was his wrist.
Well, but his shin was on the ground, or his sock was on the ground, but not his knee.
Let's do a 4-hour long expose on that today.
I love that somehow Buck turned arguably the best catch I've ever seen back into an ex-bitter Duck. Michael Dyer was down.
Well, I'm just saying why I knew the rule that shin is down because of him.
Yeah. It was that was incredible. And that was about the only good part of that game because the Jets suck, and so do the Texans,
The Jets are back.
I love how many New York douchey people are like, oh, the Jets have figured it out. Aaron Rodgers threw for 200 yards, like 211 yards. They figured nothing out. The Texans just aren't very good, despite what their record says.
So they play Seattle coming up. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
Are the Seahawks any good? Because I don't really know.
4-4.
They have the same issue that the Texans have in that those might be the two worst offensive lines in the NFL. Geno Smith and CJ Stroud, both are pressured at about 47% of the time they drop back. I mean, and they get pressured faster than anyone else. It's just, their O-lines are causing serious, serious problems. And then both defenses are pretty leaky. So they should be better than they are, and yet there's real problems. And we talked about it. The Jets have lost a lot of close games, and the Texans have won a lot of close games. Those teams are closer together than their records would indicate. You saw it last night, but neither one of those teams is going anywhere. And as long as Seattle's O-line is the way it is, they're not going anywhere either. And it stinks because there's good components to those teams. And CJ Stroud is really good, and Geno Smith is really good, but there's only so much you can do when you're under siege and you can't consistently, you know, get anything going, and you can't run the ball.
Did we have any good college football last night that we missed?
Not last night, no. There was one game. It featured Biff Poggi and the Charlotte 49ers.
Oh, yeah. That's the dude with, like, the sleeveless T-shirts.
Yeah, hasn't worn sleeves on the sideline since 2019, I read in a bio.
It is shocking. Despite the weather, no matter what, he just...
I think so.
And doesn't he have, like... Isn't he a multimillionaire?
Yeah, because he like got into like a big hedge fund thing, and he's like a multimillionaire, but also he's like this rough around the... Like, I also read in the bio last night, he was kicked out of 8 different schools by the 11th grade.
Yeah.
So
and he looks like a Biff.
He does look like a Biff.
Yes, 100%.
Is it me, or is Thursday Night Football college, has that gone kind of south? Didn't they used to have some...
Yeah, we used to have... Like, I played a lot on Thursday Night Football. And
Boise State... San Diego State is tonight.
Yeah. It feels like they've moved a few more to Fridays now rather than Thursdays, which I think is better, probably.
Yeah, because we had Tulane. Tulane helmets were pretty cool last night.
Yep.
Oh, those were kind of fun.
They had the blue wave.
Yeah, they played Charlotte.
Even though they're the green wave.
Well, I realized the whole helmet was the green wave. Yeah. The blue was just the cap of the wave. Yeah. It was like the crest.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's not what I saw when I looked at it.
Yeah, at first glance, it looked like the wave itself was blue, but that was just the top of the wave.
Maybe the Dodgers and Yankees can come back and play an encore game.
Oh, that'd be nice.
For us?
Yeah, if they just were like, hey, I know it doesn't matter, but can we just come back and play a different game because we don't have a lot else on?
Yankees can boot it around like the Yankees love to do.
The Yankees lose!
Man, my man Jake over there.
Yeah, you were giving him some... Giving him the business a little bit.
No,
Jakey Poos. You weren't.
That was more yesterday.
Oh. No. But... he did tell me that he was at a bar last night for Halloween, and the bartender happened to be a Dodgers fan, or maybe it was the owner of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody at the bar was a Dodger fan, and he called him out in front of the entire bar, made fun of him. Right. I was like, man.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you're not going to hear the end of this until, like, spring training.
No, it's going to go a while.
And he's like, I know.
Yeah, people revel. If you're going to be a Yankee fan, you know what you're signing up for. You know what you're getting into. Although he's from back there, at least, so.
Yeah, he's a New Yorker.
He's a New Yorker. Yeah, that's a little better, you know. I mean, we still don't respect you because you're a Yankee fan, but at least you're from there, you know, as opposed to being, you know. It's like if you're a Laker fan from L.A., but there's so many of those people, you know, that are... You know, you're from Nebraska. It's like, I don't know, you root for the Yankees. Why? I don't know. They were really good.
So you know what the new Yankee... Well, I shouldn't say this is a new theme from Yankee fans. Mm. It's just a thing that was out there.
Yeah.
Because the other day we talked about how a Yankee fan... What was it? They are trying to claim that they have it worse than anybody.
Yes, because they haven't won in a while, and the expectation for them is so high that it's more disappointing than like when the Twins don't win it every year.
Classic Yankee fan.
Oh, God.
The young Yankee fan was like, well, it's even worse having 27 titles that we didn't even see.
Getting to the World Series cannot make you having it worse than anyone else. It just can't.
Well, that's how Yankee fan thinks. The new one is that I saw floating out there is that the Yankee fan believes that the turnout today at the parade in L.A. Mm-hmm. was so great because the Dodgers beat the Yankees.
So they're
celebrating in L.A.
So they beat the Guardians, and it wouldn't have been like this.
That's exactly the
fervor and the excitement, not nearly the same. Yes.
This is the old, the stock market is doing great because they think I'm going to win. Same sort of argument.
I mean, it's just... Yeah,
well...
The Yankee fan, man, they are in their own little bubble.
Well, you know, that's...
It's really something.
It is.
And that's why we root against them.
It is a very unique fan because you could make the equivalent that, like, Cowboy fan, but Cowboy fan doesn't win squat. Like, the Cowboys aren't the winningest franchise of all time. Yankee fan really is unique. Maybe Montreal Canadian fan, but they haven't won since, like, you know, 1990 or something. So, yeah, the Yankees really are in rarefied douche air. There just really isn't anything like it in professional sports.
Dude, he's such an effing loser. Freaking Yankees.
What if the Dodgers and Yankees came back and played a football game tonight?
That'd be kind of fun.
Who would win?
I'd like to see that. Trying to think who's... Well, I mean, Judge would be pretty hard to stop.
He'd be a tough cover.
He'd be tough. You know, Mookie Betts might be the best athlete on that team. Shohei's pretty big.
Yeah.
Right? Mookie's probably your best skill position.
Who's the quarterback?
Right?
Well, I'm assuming you got to go, you know, I'm guessing...
Shohei?
I'm guessing Garrett Cole. Well, Shohei can't throw right now. He's got a blown out arm. Yeah. See, you probably got Walker Buehler back there, you know, slinging a little bit. And, you know... And then you got probably Garrett Cole, you know, out there throwing. Although, do you go with a high leverage reliever? Because
Luke Weaver?
Yeah, you go with Weaver or with the Dodgers. Do you go, you know, you go into the bullpen because there's not as much stress throwing the football as there is the, you know, the old
any chance baseball. One of your catchers is the quarterback, kind of the field general back there?
I don't want Will Smith back there for me.
Okay.
I don't know why, but Will Smith kind of seems like a wiener.
I'm just thinking the catchers would have a quick release, survey the field quickly. They'd have the, you know, the right quarterback makeup.
It's a valid point.
Shohei covering Judge on the edge.
Those are big. I'll tell you
it's
what,
a good matchup.
Judge's going to be tough to stop.
But Judge, if anybody can stop him, it's Shohei.
Yeah, Judge is playing tight end.
He's gonna be Gronk out there.
And we're running. Yeah, we're running a lot of slot fades with him. We're flexing him out, and that's tough.
And then he's gonna drop the ball.
Kershaw can hold a clipboard.
Boy, Kershaw's getting fat.
Boy, did you see him without his shirt on?
He's doing the Mahomes thing.
Boy, I did not see that coming. If you didn't see it during the celebration, for some reason, Clayton Kershaw took his shirt off. And I honestly thought, like, when I first saw the photo, I thought it was like Max Muncy or something. Because Muncy's, you know, he's kind of a fat butt. I always thought Kershaw was kind of tall and lean. No.
Not anymore.
Dude, that boiler is impressive. That's like Bucks kid wearing his underoos out there. Dude, that thing is just hanging out.
I almost texted you last night. You would have been proud. I asked my son what his favorite part of Halloween was, and he said that I had got to have two pepperoni pieces of pizza.
That's right.
That's how the boiler works.
God, kids are so dumb. Does he even know that he can do that any night?
No. Or, I mean, maybe these were just really good pieces of pizza.
So he's going to start associating Halloween with pepperoni pizza?
No, he just said it was the best part of the day. He still asks for candy every
day. How was the old Halloween? You're the only guy that participated.
Yeah, well, we didn't trick-or-treat. The weather was terrible, and so the little guy went to a church event with his grandparents where they got prizes and got to trick-or-treat there and apparently eat two pieces of pepperoni pizza.
Yeah. And hear about the Lord.
I don't think there was any biblical stuff there.
There was. There always is.
Always is.
Trust me. Well, as someone that's been to a lot of...
Oh, you know what? I did...
They sneak a pamphlet into
They put a little Bible verse in his... jack-o'-lantern.
I've done a trick or treat or two in my day, and you always have to mix in some sort of weird church message along with Reese's and some sort of
chili. You can survive a couple of verses for 20 or 30 pieces of candy.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been worse. It could have been at Vancouver Mall.
What happened there?
Yeah, we had
the shooting.
Oh, I did not hear.
Yeah, we had a shelter in place at the mall. So if you were at the Piercing Pagoda, you were stuck in the Piercing Pagoda for a while.
Yeah,
maybe I could get my belly button pierced.
I'll tell you what, I would have made my way down to like Wetzel's. Like if they were like shelter in place, I'm like, I'm not sheltering here.
It's a good place to hole up.
I'm just gonna head on over there because I feel like I was sheltered in place out of Wetzel's Pretzel, aren't I entitled to some free pretzels?
Probably.
I don't think it's a big deal if you took a pretzel.
That's kind of my thing, right? Like, we're all scared, right? Like, we're stuck there. We can't make any noise. And I think it would be beneficial to everyone if our blood sugar was in a good state. And so I think that that's where I would head. Either that or maybe to the Orange Julius. Although maybe the blender, that'd be a little loud. Mm. But, you know.
Which pretzel would you grab?
You know me. I'm a traditional guy. I like the traditional pretzel with the cheese. Salted. When you get the big rock salt kernels on there, but I don't venture too much into the Cinna pretzels or the pizza pretzels. I'm a traditional pretzel guy. Give me the butter pretzel, a little salt on that bad boy, and please warm up the cheese. And then now we're talking. And now that I'm saying this, oh my God, I want a Wetzel's pretzel so bad.
I'd grab the pizza pretzel.
Yeah, I like the pizza pretzel.
I like that one.
A lot of people do.
Solid.
Yeah. Then of course, you know, you got the dessert pretzels and you can do the pretzel sticks.
I like that now because if you're a dip person, if you want to dip in like a mustard or a marinara or a cheese or whatever, those little sticks are perfect.
Yeah, but I kind of, again, part of eating the pretzel for me is I kind of like pulling it
apart.
Having
a shape, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, again, I'm a traditional guy. I like being able, because I like to pick where I go first. I start in the middle of the pretzel, the two thin ends.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then I work my way around the curve.
I usually start on one of the curves and leave the braided middle for the end.
No, yeah, like I like being able to control the distribution of my pretzel. What was that?
Well, that's you.
I know, but what does that have to do with pretzels?
I just liked it.
you're just enjoying that one.
It's one of my favorite new drops out here on the program.
But yeah, stuff was going down at the Vancouver mall.
Yeah.
Two people, right?
One person died.
One person?
Two other people got shot, but were released. Yeah. I'll have all the deets on in the news.
Yeah, you want to be there about 4:30 for ITN.
Yeah.
We got big news.
Well, we got Joey Harrington today. He'll be on at 5:30. We'll talk to him about, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon heading to the Big House?
This, the most bizarre thing to me is the number one team in the country, the Oregon Ducks, going on the road to play the winningest team in college football history, the defending national champions.
They're the winningest team in college football history?
I do believe that they are the winningest team in college football history.
Hmm.
You know, yeah, they won a lot of games back in the day. And it feels...
meh.
Yeah. I think I speak for everyone when I say this.
Meh.
Meh.
Well, they like, just don't scare you.
No, I'm talking to a lot of Duck fans, and every one of them's kind of doing the same thing. Yeah, it's Michigan, but, you know.
We have boots on the ground there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dusty's out there, too.
Dusty's there. We've got some listeners that are texting in that are there in Ann Arbor.
And by the way, they're going in with a swagger. Like,
well, yeah, we're number one team in the country.
Yes, Michigan is the winningest college football team in history.
I saw that. 1,004 wins.
Yeah.
You said 1,003.
Well, this says 1,000. It may not have updated it after last week.
Alabama, 2. Ohio State, 3. Notre Dame, 4. Texas, 5. Yeah. Actually, Notre Dame and Texas are tied. And then Oklahoma. So it's all the, you know, it's the usual suspects.
Do you know who's won the most national championships?
Ooh. Is it Alabama?
No. Alabama's 2. Here's number 1?
No, I actually don't.
Yeah.
Well, how many does Alabama have?
Gosh, I got it. Just says that they're 2.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. I mean, it's not Notre Dame, is it?
No, it is not. It is.
Oh, it's Yale.
It's Yale.
Yeah.
Yale.
Nah.
The Yaleys.
Yeah.
Those smart kids. Are you kidding me?
When's the last time they won one, though?
Oh, God, I don't know.
How long's the drought?
It's probably been a while, and it's going to continue for a while.
All right, Joey 530. Let's get started with poll question. We'll get to some college football talk for this weekend. Coming up next on The Fan.
I'm so back good. In my helmet, cleats, and shoulder pads.
Wish I had my helmet right now.
Do you?
No.
Standing I bet you don't.
I love when Sook reads the comments about the high school former jocks that want to suit up on that side with the boys.
I just, to each their own, but yes, I find nothing, and this is just my opinion, says nothing about you, but I personally find it the saddest thing in the world when a grown man is like, if I could just play high school football,
just give me one more snap, coach.
Do men say that?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Who?
Lots.
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Oh, you need to hang
out. They want to go back and play high school football again?
Yes. And like they like go play like in alumni games where like they actually put on like helmets and shoulder pads again. I'm like, oh my God.
Highlight of the year for some.
I just...
Did you play high school football, Buckley?
I did not. I played basketball and baseball.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. But again, to each their own.
That's right.
If that's what you're into, if that's what makes you happy, you got to find some things in life that make you smile. And if that's what does it, more power to you. I smile the other way.
I'm you like, frown.
Like, really? Like high school football? Go check the tape. I love when people run into me and they're like, yeah, like I played against you at Columbia River. You probably remember me. I'm like,
yeah, not really.
No, but you know, hey.
Oh yeah. Number 34. No,
I remember nothing. I couldn't tell you what our record was. I couldn't tell you what my record against any of my rivals were.
Let's
I know
go we, take a look.
We weren't very good. I never like made the playoffs or anything, but I mean, my God, like people remember this stuff. Like, you were, like, 17 years old. Like, what are we doing?
What years were you at Mountain View?
It would have been, like, what, 93, 90, ooh. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
93, 97?
Yeah.
That's when I was in college. I was partying my little balls off.
Yeah, because I'm just, like, what, I'm 3 years behind you, right? So, yeah, would have made sense. Yeah, we weren't very good.
I'll get some answers for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are your balls jiggling?
So I don't remember the last time I played, or I don't even remember like college that well. I'm impressed when people remember that stuff. I'm like, kind of like one or two games, but college kind of blurs together, you know?
Here's a guy who says, hey man, just did an alumni game. I'm 35. So freaking fun, bro. Got tipsy before the game. Had a few with the former coach.
Yeah.
Don't hate Sook.
I'm not. I just, you know,
Well, of course you are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am not. Why is that hating?
You're hating.
If I find that to be sad and pathetic, that's not hate. It's just, that's why I said it's my personal
well,
belief.
I think that's like the definition of
hating. It is not. No.
That's stupid. I'm not hating. But
it's sad and pathetic, but I'm not hating.
If I just said, if that's what that bro at 35 wants to go do and go hang out with his high school coach,
you're hating on it for you, just not for anybody else.
Yes, I said, if my high school coach, God, what was his name?
Oh.
Rostovsky? Dave Rostovsky? I had two of them.
Dave
Rostovsky, and then the other guy was the worst coach in the history of football. That dude, my senior year, I had the worst coach ever of all time. Like, I had peewee coaches that were better. But if Dave Rostovsky called me out and was like, hey, Sook, one last time, we ride 1996 Mountain View reunion. Be there. All the guys are coming. We're going to have some beers. We're going to talk about the good old days, and we're going to play. I would be like, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard, coach. And I'm sorry. I can't do it, because if I did, I'd have to go throw myself off a building. But if anyone else wants to go do it, that's not hating. Hating would be going there and making fun of someone else. I'm saying for me, I can't even fathom wanting to do that. But, you know, if you know, Ortner does that, Ortner goes and plays in alumni games. He loves that stuff. You know, God bless you, man. I've moved on. There's nothing. Would you do that?
Yeah, probably. What? Have some beers. Said,
why does Sook hate America?
Yeah, why do you hate America? There's nothing
followed by go storm another capital, bro.
America, yeah!
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah, I
Give
am
it
not,
right back to him.
I'm stating for the record, it
yeah,
is
John's
not hatred.
Fault, yeah!
It is not.
Well, it is, it but is okay. Not. All it's right, not. Fine. Whatever you need to feel better about that, you do your thing. Now, I cannot...
Like drink their haterade and eat their hater tots.
I cannot find anything of Mountain View High School football's past.
There's a reason why. No one should.
Why don't they have... I think they should have... You know how Football Reference has like the index for the school history for each college team?
Yeah.
And they do it, you know, for all the pro teams too. Yeah. They should have that for high schools.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Things like this.
Someone lashing back out at Sook. It's fine. I'll go take my full head of hair and comb it.
Yeah! Let's go.
Be my
the learned people. No,
in your face.
Be my guest, man. Go comb that sweet hair and then go back and as a 35-year-old man and play high school football.
Sick burn, bro.
What?
Yeah, trucks, balls, yeah.
Well, anyway, here is our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Yesterday we asked you who is this weekend's big game biggest four, Ryan Day or James Franklin, and Ryan Day won that. Yeah. 69% to 31%.
A lot of articles being written from both sides about how big this game is for both. I think both are feeling a lot of pressure. Because I think for Penn State, you look at Ohio State and you say, look, we finally have a team that can beat them. And Ohio State's beat up. And then for Ohio State, you look at it and you're like, dude, we were supposed to be the best team in the country. We've already dropped one to Oregon that we don't feel we should have dropped. We lose this. Good chance we don't make the playoff. Both are sweating bullets. Monster game.
So we had Oregon, Ohio State. We had Georgia, Bama.
We had Texas, Michigan played earlier. We had Georgia, Bama. We had Oregon State. Oregon and Ohio State.
No, Texas, Georgia just played, didn't they?
Yeah, Texas, Georgia just played.
So we had Georgia, Bama, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State. But I would say that this Penn State, Ohio State game is maybe the biggest of all of those. For everything that we've talked about.
Yeah, because it could be an elimination
game. There's so much on the line.
Yeah. Basically a spot almost guaranteed in the Big Ten title game for Penn State. If you're Ohio State, this could be an elimination game. Yeah, there's more at stake in this game than there were any of those others. So, yeah, this is... I don't even think it's arguably. This is the biggest game of the year with implicates because you have the records, the schools.
Because Penn State's undefeated.
But yeah, Penn State's undefeated. Ohio State fighting for their life. This is big boy football, and it's great. And it's in what's in Beaver Stadium, right? 100 plus thousand people. It's going to be awesome.
Do we know what time that game starts?
I'm guessing.
Oh, I think it's the early one.
It's the
appetizer before Oregon, Michigan.
Yes, and the fans are pissed about it. Have you seen that they are wanting to boycott the Big Noon?
Really?
Well, they have the Big Nooner show,
Is it Big Noon Kickoff? Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Is the game Big Noon Kickoff?
Well, they do like a game day sort of set and have fans come out. Mm-hmm. The Penn State fans are trying to get other Penn State fans to not show up because they don't want to play. It's noon there, but they don't want to play at noon.
Well, it's too late. You're already playing at that time. Well,
noon's the best time to play. It just doesn't
They
give
want
you,
a night game.
It doesn't give you... Oh.
They wanted
a whiteout night game and at least some time to tailgate.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Get all lubed up.
Yeah.
Talk about their high school football memories.
Hey, go check the tape, man.
Then head into Beaver Stadium. Puke all over the guy in front of him. Today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. What's the play this weekend? Oregon minus 14.5 at Michigan. Michigan plus 14.5 against Oregon. Penn State plus 3 against Ohio State. Or Ohio State minus 3 at Penn State. See what I did there?
I did.
Two games, four sides.
Four sides.
What's the play?
Boy, that's a good one. I don't have a great feel about the Penn State Ohio State game, like at all. That one is kind of throwing me for a loop because I have not been a believer in Penn State all year. Watched them play. They may have a different quarterback, although that may help you because the other guy looked way better than when Aller came in. And I just think Oregon is that much better than Michigan, but that's a lot of points. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, but
honestly, I feel better about Oregon beating Michigan by 2 touchdowns than I do about Ohio State or Penn State. That, to me, is a coin flip game. Oregon, I feel very comfortable, is going to win this game and win it comfortably. I think I might lean Oregon given the points. I don't like that hook. I don't like that you put the hook in there. You backed me into a corner, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, you need that extra field goal.
I know.
Yeah, let's come back and talk about Oregon, Michigan.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have a feel for it. You know, I would be inclined to trust Oregon, but.
Yeah. Well, I don't trust, I trust Oregon, but I distrust Michigan more.
Totally.
I just don't like Michigan.
I mean, they may score 20 at most.
Oh, dude, I think it's more like a 10 to 13 sort of thing.
Yeah, the team totals are set at Michigan 14.5 for the game, and Oregon, I think, is 30.5.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And when you look statistically at Michigan's defense, it's not that good because they're just on the field all the time and they get short fields and just defenses get broken. And I don't know if Michigan's got the spirit anymore. I think you just get worn down playing with crappy offense. So,
all right, well, let's come back and talk about it. Vote on our poll question. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Here is Buck with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Ha! Struck a nerve with that high school football thing.
Yeah, you sure did.
Wow.
You're right. I didn't think anybody thought that, but apparently they all listened to our show.
Someone had a stroke, but I'm concerned. Did you read this thread?
Yeah, I just watched, or I just read it. Do you want me to read it on the air?
Yeah, I'm generally concerned. I'm worried that we have a man who got so angry at my high school football thing that he may be having a stroke as we speak.
Let's see if we can decipher this here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that your football high school football curse suck, but it was great. So it's my college. I know you made the pros look loud, It's a great song.
Yeah.
Sad life suit sad because he had such crappy times. Not everybody hasn't crappy time in life. How's this there? Example of sad and terrible life. Go ahead and effing to sports show in Portland, Oregon. Big snaps. He does for sure. She does.
Yeah.
That's the text we got there.
John. I'm worried about you, man.
That's trouble.
And I just said,
that's trouble.
Said, calm down, take your time, proofread, and insult me in a clear and
what?
You know, proper way. I'm worried. But yeah, you said no one feels like that? Oh, yeah. I beg to differ.
We've
got several others that are
my God.
Very much.
Calm down, dudes.
It's high school football.
Well, Oregon's going to Michigan, and it's the big house, and there are, I believe, 110,000 people in that place.
I believe it's the biggest stadium in college football. Either that or maybe Tennessee. It's like right there,
107,601.
I think Tennessee's got them beat. And we've heard from many. No?
No. They're at 102.
Oh, lame. So the big house is the biggest?
I think so.
It is.
Oh, what was the, 107. Beaver Stadium is 106 and some change. And yet you constantly hear from people that Michigan is not loud. So.
Yeah, and then Ohio. So Ohio State's is third.
Yeah.
In size.
Yeah.
Kyle Field, LSU, those two environments are really good.
Yeah.
They have 102 each.
Yeah, I've heard. I've never been to the big house, but a lot of Duck fans poo-poo it. And just like, whatever.
Isn't it funny how, like, you look at the, I just pulled up the list of the largest college football stadiums, and you got all the usual suspects.
Sure.
And then UCLA.
I know. Well, that's what Troy.
They get to play in a 91,000-seat stadium.
And they rope it off up top. They curtain it off, and it still doesn't matter. No one goes. Troy Aikman is begging. And if you've ever been down there, you know the Rose Bowl is nowhere near the campus. The Rose Bowl is in Pasadena. It's a pain in the ass to get to. It's like going to Dodger Stadium. Troy Aikman, who is a UCLA alum, he has long begged UCLA to build a 35 or 40,000 seat intimate stadium on campus or near campus and actually get a home field environment advantage. Because you look at like what Boise State has. Boise State Stadium, I think, is like 30,000. It's tiny, but it's a great environment when you go. There's a lot of places that are like that aren't big stadiums. Martin Stadium, when it's packed, is rocking. So you don't, it does you no good to play in front of a 90,000 seat stadium when 25,000 people show up. It's a killer.
Well, I don't really have a good feel for what's going to happen at Michigan, but I do think we've already kind of seen this game. Yeah. Texas played there, and I mean, they handled them. What was the final of that? 31-10,
something like that. Yeah,
so it's like it's going to be like that. I think
that's my thing is I just don't believe that Michigan can score points. And then on top of that, again, when you look at Michigan's statistics on defense, we know they have NFL guys. They have four guys in their front seven that are going to be first 2 day guys. If Will Johnson plays in the secondary, he's a first round, second round guy. I mean, they've got plenty of draft picks. Their tight end is very good. They got two good backs. I have a couple good old linemen. There's NFL talent there, but when you just look at it in total, it's not a great team. It's very limited. And despite the defensive studs and they can make plays, they get worn down like anyone else. You just when your team is constantly giving you three and outs and putting you in short fields and putting you on the field, that damn bursts. And so when you look at, I'm going to pull up Michigan's games. While there are games where they really hold teams down, there's other where the kind of the, like I said, the damn bursts on them. I mean, USC scored enough to beat them. I mean, it's just that USC's defense couldn't hold up at the end. But like with Texas, I mean, Texas scored 31 on them. And believe it or not, I think Michigan's defense played pretty well in that game, considering that the offense gave you absolutely nothing against Illinois, right? They lost that game 21-7, but their defense played really well in that game. But, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know it when you look at a score of 21-7. And I think that may be the case with Oregon. If they hold Oregon to 25 or 28 points, you may look at that and be like, hey, man, that's a really nice job. If you look at the offense and the offense ends up with 212 yards and 5 3 and outs, and maybe, you know, they give you a turnover or two.
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at, you were talking about their schedule. I pulled it up too. And, you know, they've got Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State through their last four. I mean, this is a 6-6 football team.
It's possible. Yeah.
Very possible.
Yes.
I mean, the one win would be Northwestern if they could get that. And that would make them, if they lose the other three, that's 6-6.
Yeah.
So it's just weird. It's weird to see a storied program like this be down. And it just takes a lot of. Just takes a lot of luster out of the game. It's very similar to when Oregon will play Washington later this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not the same.
Yeah. Well, again, you think about it. Look at all the coaches that left, right? You lost your head coach. You lost your defensive coordinator, which is what you hung your hat on. And how many of those guys ended up moving on to the NFL? I mean, a lot of those guys stuck around to go chase that championship. And it's funny you bring up Washington. Same thing. Washington leaves. Takes the entire staff with him. Washington, for all the talk of that Washington was like this little engine that could, do you know that Washington team put 12 guys into the NFL last year?
Yeah.
12, including first rounders. And all those guys are gone. And so you lose all of that. You get a new coach in and a lot of your staff, basically all your staff, and a good hunk of your players ended up leaving. I think Washington ended up returning like, what, 2 or 3 starters off that team? And so you look at Washington and Michigan. They resemble nothing to the teams that played last year in the national title game. TCU did this. Remember when TCU played Georgia in the national title game and then they came back the next year? That wasn't the TCU team. And we're used to teams like Michigan reloading, you know, every year, but Florida State didn't. Florida State was undefeated last year. And look at Florida State this year. That is not the same football team. And we just think because you're a big program, you're immune to that, and you are not. You absolutely are not.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's kind of a sign of the times, right? Yeah. It's just, some of these programs are going to be bad 1 year and really good the next, like Indiana.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be programs like Michigan and Washington that are really good, and then the next year, not so much.
Yeah.
Just the kind of the new college football, but it takes some of the shine off this trip, but hey, you never know.
Yeah, Michigan right now, I looked it up, Michigan's 48th in the country in total defense. They're 56th in the country in scoring defense, and they're 61st in red zone defense. So,
and they're 97th in offense.
Yeah. So,
and Oregon is good at, I think they're top 15 in everything.
Yeah, they're just really balanced. And you wonder, because those defensive rankings are not stellar, certainly for a team like Michigan with as much talent as they are. If you put a competent offense, how much better does that exact same defensive squad with a competent offense, how much better does that
How about
look?
Just a quarterback?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they beat USC with Orgy throwing for 32 yards.
It's unbelievable. Like, it almost is like incomprehensible that happened. I still can't get over the fact that they needed to go 80 yards in 2 minutes with no timeouts to beat USC, and they didn't try to throw the ball. They ran, and it worked. Like, that, I don't know, it's so strange that a place like Michigan can't find a quarterback. But Florida State doesn't have one either.
Well, watch it come down to the wire.
Yeah. Well, if you're Oregon and you turn the ball over, dumb penalties, and if you're Michigan, if you can just somehow manage to just bleed clock, anytime you're playing a game like this, the fewer possessions you have, the better it is for a team like Michigan. The more opportunities you give Oregon to have the ball, they will eventually wear down that defense and score. So Michigan just needs to play. They need to play a controlled, burn the clock sort of game, and, you know, go on these, even if you don't necessarily get sevens, even if you get threes, or even if you just turn the field over, you need 6 minute drives. Every time you have the ball, it needs to be a 9 to 10 play, 6 minute grind. And whether you punt or not, or get threes, you've got to bleed the clock consistently.
Yeah. I think it's a good test for the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Well, and that's, yeah, because at the beginning of the year, this offensive line was a little like, whoa. And since then, they've been great after those first two games. And this, even with Ohio State, this will be a much stiffer test for this old line. And we'll kind of get an idea as you get ready to get into the big boy championship level play. Where does your old line stack up?
All right, this game will be on The Fan tomorrow at 12:30. Up next, Tankathon Watch, Danny Ainge does it again on The Fan. Well, we've got our eye on Tankathon 2024. as the Blazers are trying to get Cooper Flagg.
I don't think they are.
Because he's actually a good player.
I'm not certain that they are. I don't think Chauncey's on board.
No, I think they want Cooper Flagg, but they're not doing the right things to get him.
No, they are not. That
yeah,
clutch
Flags!
Win against the Clippers.
It's brutal.
I don't like
it. It's just brutal.
I don't like it.
Danny Ainge does it again. Do you see they lost again last
Absolutely. Night? Absolutely. They're 0-5.
Yep. They got smoked. You know, they have... So the Utah Jazz, look, they weren't any good last year.
No.
But, and I don't think anybody expected that much out of them this year, but we didn't really count on them in the Tankathon sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. But Ainge is not stupid.
No.
And he has already got Markkanen on the bench with a mysterious back injury.
Yeah.
They had the most random thing happen. Their rookie, the kid that they drafted in the top 10.
He hit, drop, tackled himself.
Snapped his leg.
You know what?
He's done.
That's commitment right there. That's commitment to the tank.
They're starting Filipowski, Cody Williams. It's not going to be long before Drew Eubanks is in there dropping 25 and 10.
Hells yeah.
They lost 106-88 to the Spurs.
To the Spurs, who aren't any good either.
They have... Their point differential right now, Utah. I think they're the only winless team, aren't they? Or is Detroit?
No,
still...
I think they're the only winless team, if I'm not mistaken.
Their point differential is -17.
Yeah,
yeah, they are the only winless team. The next worst point differential in the league is 8.6.
That's how they're doing it.
And do you know who that is? Milwaukee.
I like that Milwaukee is apparently involved in some sort of secret tank. Did you see, by the way, that we've got odds for the next Milwaukee coach being the Tear Bear? They're going to can. Well, the fear is that Giannis is going to be like, dude, I'm out of here. And so they may fire Doc and bring in the Tear Bear.
I don't think that'd be a bad play.
Well, you got to do something. Like, if you
heard, what a mess they are.
It's bad. Like, when Dame went over there, like, there was this idea that that's the best 1-2 punch in the NBA. And boy, I'll tell you what, it has not gone well. We're in year two, and it certainly does not show signs of picking up.
The Bucks are 1-4, and Damian Lillard is 6 for his last 33.
Boy.
From downtown. That's 18% if you got your iCal calculator out.
Did the Blazers know what they were doing? Shipping him out? Is this a Russell Wilson thing? They saw it coming? Or is the divorce?
Man, he does.
Is the divorce that? Is it still like screw with him?
It is weird, isn't it?
Boy, he fell off a cliff.
There won't be no buddy-buddy stuff.
Well, he's, what, 30?
He's 32. But still, like, it shouldn't be this. Like,
well, I mean, the one coach that had him going was that the a-hole guy.
Yeah. He's 30. Yeah, he's 34. So
34. Yeah, he's getting up there.
Are we at the? Have we seen the end like of meaningful Dame Lillard?
Well, I think he's past his prime. Yeah.
Well, I know. There's a difference between being past your prime and
what? So what are you saying? Like, he's done?
Is he just now just empty, hollow?
He becomes a ring chaser.
Yeah. Right. Like.
They just add him to the Lakers.
Is that where we're at? Is he like the new Chris Paul?
Well, is he not a superstar anymore?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like Dame before he left, Dame was still legitimately one of the. He was an All NBA guy.
He was a top 10 player in the league.
And are we more like, you know,
maybe?
I think maybe. I mean, the way he's playing.
Because last year we chalked it up to he wasn't in the best shape. And it was a tough year for him. The whole, you know, is he coming or going? He had the bad divorce, and he wasn't ready for that. And he even said he missed his family, and it was hard being out in Milwaukee and all that. But, you know, you got a whole other year. You know, they bring in Doc, who supposedly is a player's guy, right? And it was another year with Giannis, and you're going to kind of figure it all out. And, you know, at what point do you just look at this and say that this just doesn't work? And it's not Doc Rivers' fault. It's not... You know, Terry Stotts, whoever you're going to bring in next, and Giannis saying, hey, remember Giannis was saying, hey, if you don't give me help, I'll leave. Well, you went and got him help, but what if the help is the one that pushes him out?
But it was working with Adrian Griffin. They're in first place.
Yeah, yeah, it just wasn't.
And then they canned him.
Yeah, it wasn't like, well, and that's the weird part now is that, you know, he had a much better record, but they said like it wasn't, he just wasn't vibing with players and it wasn't getting them where they wanted to go. Well, now they bring in Doc and it's an unmitigated disaster.
Yep. Not as bad as the Jazz, though.
No.
Way well, to go, Dan.
The Jazz is a purpose pitch, and I appreciate
I do too.
What the Utah Jazz
can
are doing.
A team go 0-82?
I certainly hope so. I feel like, is there some sort of provision in the new CBA that if you go 0-82, you're guaranteed the number one pick? Do we not? Is Danny Ainge so slick that we didn't read the fine print. And Angel's like, you don't think we can go 82 or 0-82? Watch this.
What would the league do? Oh my God, they would be so mad.
Do you know what the modern record is for fewest wins in a season?
I'd say go what, like
9?
14?
Lower than 9.
Really?
6.
It is 7. The Charlotte Bobcats of 2011-12 were 7. Oh, this is a strike-shortened season.
I was going to say, there's no way.
7-59.
That was like, there's no way a team won 7 games.
Yeah, that was a labor stoppage.
7?
So I got to recalculate.
7?
7-minute halves. I'm saying there's no way. Like, if you just if you rolled out a G League team, you'd win 10 games, wouldn't you? Considering the other team sometimes isn't going to show up. Back to back, or
I don't know about that.
Travel.
The 72-73 Sixers went 9-73,
and that was in the '70s.
Yeah, 9-73.
Yeah, see, back then people cared. I'm gonna need go through. I need a modern. Give me something like 1980, mid 80s on.
92-93 Dallas Mavericks 11-71.
See, that seems more. That seems more kind of in the wheelhouse there.
They got Jason Kidd the following year. The 97-98 Denver Nuggets were also 11-71.
Because it feels like half the teams in the NBA don't play on a night-to-night basis anyways, and so that should almost ensure you of 10 wins.
The 2009-2010 Nets were 12-70.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, we've had some bad ones, haven't we?
Well, I think we're on our way here.
Well, the Blazers won 21 last year, and that felt awful.
Yeah, and imagine that, but like, you know, half that.
Oof.
Jeez.
Blazers are playing tonight. They're playing the undefeated Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah,
here in town.
Do we know what the spread is on that?
11.5.
That's too low.
Yeah,
that's too low.
They're gonna get drilled.
All right, we got to take a break because it's break time.
Magic Johnson.
Teehee. But
teehee, Magic Johnson. Someone says the Utah Jazz trades any good players for Bronny James and lets Bronny start at point guard. Yes.
Yep.
Do it.
It's all part of the plan.
I dare you.
Coming up next. Oh, I was going to tell you too. One more NBA note. Just pertaining to nothing.
Yeah, why
but not? Wemby. You know, so the Spurs beat the Jazz. Wemby had a 5x5 game.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I didn't really know what a 5x5 was until I looked into it. And then they're doing one of those weird. He was like the third guy ever to have 25, 5, 5, and 5 or whatever.
Well, he had 25 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals.
Yeah.
So he had at least 5 in every one of those categories.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass. He had already done that once, but
dude,
pretty badass.
He's fine. Turns out that all that hype, and he hasn't blown anything out yet. He's been healthy.
All right, so coming up next, college football coach buyouts. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it? It's Isaac and Souk on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.